Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
I was that teen that yelled at my parents that they did not understand anything that I was going through and my need for my friends and social dramas that went along with it. And now I'm hearing from my kids that exact same thing. I think parents are the same no matter what time or place it is. My guest today is Dr. Cora Colette Bruner. She's a pediatrician on the AAP Committee on Adolescence. Welcome to the show, Dr. Bruner. So my parents didn't understand me. Now I'm 50. I don't understand my kids, but I feel like I do because I feel like I was just there. How can we understand our kids and get them to understand that we do? We were there.
Well, And again, I have three myself. They're a little older than yours, so I'm for a, some of them, I'm on the other side of this, but not yet. I think one of the things I say over and over again to my families, and as an adolescent doc, I have to repeatedly say this in clinic, is hang in there, be patient, and really try to model appropriate management of stress. And that might even be the stress that our teenagers cause in us. So a lot of times, the new buzzword of the 2014 time is using the word trigger. I think that for many times when my kids say, "You don't understand me, how do you possibly understand what I'm going through?" You were in the dark ages, you know. Now we have cell phones, internet. You didn't have electricity, right, Mom? It's like, yeah, actually, I did have electricity, but no, I didn't have cell phones. But and again, I think it's, no, we can't understand everything that they're going through, and that's why we have to ask them to explain it to us. And one of the things that's really hard is we get into a situation where we feel kind of out of control and our brains are into a biochemical imbalance when the kids get us upset that we can't really listen to them. And I know that for me, when I start to feel like my pulse is racing and I'm not listening very well, that I have to walk away. I have to stop this cycle that my kid is triggering in me and say, I need to like cool off for a second and we need to readdress this in a couple of minutes, because suddenly the issue really isn't about staying out too late and my being afraid they're going to get in a car accident. It's just because they're lying. And that gets me into a whole rage or my parents that I take care of. So I think the thing is to recognize in ourselves that we are trying as hard as we can to understand them, and that we can't understand everything, but we really should not try to engage in a heated moment with our children.
See, and I feel like I can understand it all because I went through the same social drama, and he, you know, my son was even saying recently, "You don't want me to have any fun in high school at all, do you?" And I said, "No, it's just your grades count now. You need to focus less on friends and things that you're doing after school and more on your grades." And I'm hearing myself say these things and just really rolling my own eyeballs at myself. But, you know, swearing. Oh, you know, if you guys weren't allowed to swear, it's different now. You know, and texting while you're trying to talk to all these things, Dr. Bruner.
That trigger us. Yes.
That trigger us. But what do we say to our teens? I mean, to get them to say, we do understand. I went through those social dramas. I wanted my friends.
Well, and to be honest with you, the social networking and the social scene is extremely important to them, and we have to let them do that. But one of the things I like to do up front is like do things in a very concrete fashion, because kids are still very concrete thinkers and not abstract thinkers, which is a sort of later on in life, 18 to 25 is when you're supposed to become more abstract in your thinking, and before 18 you're pretty concrete. Hopefully you get into abstract thought by the time you're 25, like consequences of my actions. But I try to be very concrete with rules up front and consequences for breaking the rules early. So line in the sand, this is like on the refrigerator, no texting during meals. And then I have the kids come up with, and this is what I do with my patients and their families, you tell me what you think the consequence should be of breaking this rule. And the kids will say, well, nothing. And the parents will say, take the phone away. And so then it's like, no, we want you to compromise that a little bit. Let's do this. And then actually the two of them, and the parent and the child, come up with a consequence. But the first thing is to set up rules in advance. This is the expectation that I have as your parent. And you are the parent. I mean, you are in charge. They are not in charge. And I think that sometimes this generation doesn't get enough parenting by our parents because we're scared of them and we're scared that for whatever reason they'll leave and never come back, whatever. But I don't think that's actually true. I think most of the young adults are back living with their parents again. So I think actually we need to really kind of be a little more proactive and authoritarian, not dictatorial, in parenting our kids.
And also, you mentioned, you know, we are the parent and trying not to be their buddies. I feel lucky, Dr. Bruner, because even my 14-year-old son still says, I love you, Mom, when I drop him off at a friend's house, even in front of his friends. I know that may not last, but for right now, I'll certainly take it. But we have to be less friendly with our kids and, you know, not try and be the cool parent and still
Correct.
Yet be that parent, right?
Right, so there's a number of studies that have shown that, and this is kind of digressing a little bit from what you're saying, but this is important for the listeners to know that there still is this myth that if the parent allows a child to drink alcohol or smoke marijuana or whatever in the home, and again, both of these things are illegal under 21, even in our lovely state of Washington where marijuana is legal, still illegal if you're under 21, that if the kids will do it in the home with the parents' supervision, then they'll drink or smoke or less. And that's not true, actually. There's no data whatsoever to support that. In fact, kids who drink earlier, smoke earlier, especially in the confines of the home, are more likely to grow up to be abusers. So that's something that I need. Or if you drink with your child there and you teach them, quote, how to drink, that they'll drink more responsibly. That's never been shown to be true, and in fact, it's probably deleterious to a child's health. So, yeah, I think our kids, if you look at their Facebook accounts, they have enough friends. They have over thousands of friends. They don't need another one. That would be not a good idea as a parent. Our job really is to be their guide, their leader, their major supporter and advocate, and somebody that actually is going to watch out for them and make sure they don't hurt themselves.
You know, my kids laugh at me about the contemporary abbreviations, BTW, LOL, YOLO, you know, all these things. Oh, you don't even know what that means, Mom. I say, oh, well, yes, I do. Now, we only have a minute and a half left, but even our systems of organization, keeping your room clean, they don't understand the need for that.
Correct. And I don't think that's a new thing. I think probably in Laura Ingalls Wilder time, some kids were total slobs. I just try to make it be that there's no hygiene health issues. You know what I mean? So like on like food that's out that could be like bugs and whatever, that the rooms need to be clean. And I keep thinking in terms of the long-term partners of my children. I want them eventually to thank me so that they have a partner that knows how to use a dishwasher or a washing machine, and I'm not dealing with them later. That's just sort of a joke. But also, I think that that we as parents need to model that behavior as well. And so I think kids look to us, and so we need to really make sure that we take care of our own, you know, make sure that we have good hygiene, good not only personal but also like sleep and electronic hygiene that we model for our kids. This is our rule, and this is our rule for not only you but for us. I mean, it's really hard to tell your kid to turn the phone off when you're on the phone. And as a parental figure, we're it. We had these children, so it's our responsibility to take care of them forever.
Absolutely. Great information. And I think the main message here is that we have to role model. If you want your kids to keep a clean room, show them how to do it and keep your own room clean. You don't want them to text while you're talking to them. Don't text while you're talking to them. We have to really role model these things and show the kids. And you know what? Maybe they're going to laugh at us for not knowing how to tweet or not knowing how to work the new DVD player. Yes, they may laugh at us, but let them laugh and then ask them to show you how to do it. Because then you're involving your kids in the new age kind of thing. And the social drama, well, whatever. It's going to work itself out. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening and stay well.